Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scott and coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we want to finish off our study of possessing our inheritance and why it's important for us to continue to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and walk with the Lord in this new season of a new wineskin. And we want to, in order to do that, we have to go back and remind ourselves of scripturally why we're here standing and walking out this understanding of the importance of possessing our inheritance. And through our study, we found that in Zechariah 8:12, which says, "For there will be peace for the seed," that this is the Lord telling Zechariah, "the vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things." And the due from heaven speaks of the outpouring of the Spirit and why that's important for us to remember and walk with this understanding is because, as we titled today, this last portion of understanding the real basics of laying the foundation of possessing our inheritance is that the due is not permanent. And meaning the glory that we're walking in this season is for this season specifically. And I want to read three paragraphs from the book Reordering Your Day from Chuck Pierce. And it talks about how, here I'm quoting this, he says, "Dew falls during the night season when all is quiet and calm." We've gone through that. "As soon as the morning breaks, however, the dew begins to evaporate. So as the light shines on it, it goes away. Only a natural process." I think we all understand that. "This is where dew ties back into the process of moving from glory to glory. We cannot settle into all the dew brings and expect it to last beyond the time God would allow. The children of Israel received just enough manna for one day at a time, and the wilderness journey is another representation of this, of our understanding of the glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith, scriptural foundation there. And he goes on to say, "The earth receives just enough dew to be refreshed for a short season, and in the same way, we cannot allow ourselves to settle into our current state of glory." And that's key. If we do, we will find that God begins to move in a new way, or interrupts us, with a circumstance, problem, or even a vision that we can't control or engineer with our present understanding. We need to move to our next place of glory. For that, we must receive new revelation from God. And if you are in a place of confusion, listen for the voice of God to receive the necessary instructions that will bring new order to your life and circumstances. Don't fear changes. His glory falls like dew. As I read this, there's some situations going on in my life with a second child that I need to, not be in fear, but trust in the Lord to provide in multiple of ways that are outside of my realm in this current understanding that I need to grow out in faith in. And for us to walk in where the Lord's calling us, and what some economists are, inflation and possible recession, stagnation, every little bad terminology that economists can give that they're throwing out there is we have to understand is, are we going to live in the old mindset? Are we going to operate in how we operated in the past? Or are we going to walk with the Lord with faith, producing fruit for peace in the season ahead, despite what the economy is doing. And so we want to build on that foundation and walk out on that as we close out this study. And as the president heads towards the Middle East and Israel on Wednesday, we'll look at building foundationally and praying for the peace of Jerusalem as they make that journey. And today we want to kind of give some highlights of some things that have happened, of some stances the administration has tripled down on the abortion issue, and then lastly close out with some key victories, and then also some coming votes, potential votes on the House and Senate floor that we need to be aware of and praying for, that our foundations of this country that were set up from the beginning of this nation, that our founding fathers fed, the original intent, continue to stand. And first, I want to start off on the abortion issue. So we see from Europe that they are condemning the United States decision for overturning Roe, fears that pro-life trend will spread to Europe. And I say, bravo. I say, this is a proper fear. You're fearing the Lord. Wow, such a horrible thing to fear is that now children will be able to live. And then and we talked about this, about how the new argument will be that, and this is how they say it, you can see it here, everyone has a right. This is from the EU Parliament. Everyone has a right to a safe and legal abortion. We've been down this road before. If you've ever been involved or heard the arguments from people who stand for abortion and child sacrifice, is safe, legal, and rare. Well, safe, legal, and rare turns to up until the moment of birth in California, legally up until 28 days, infanticide after birth, outside of the womb. This is that slippery slope that was warned about years and years and decades ago. But now they want to go back, try to reestablish that foundation after they've lost ground from a proper ruling from the Supreme Court. And the EU is upset about that. They voted 324 to 155 for the resolution, excuse me, stating that everyone has a right to a legal and safe abortion. Okay, that's Europe. They're upset with us, even though we're not the ones setting the standard. Most nations like Poland, Malta, and there are some others, France, like every other nation in Europe has had a better stance on pro-life than the United States has. It's pretty arrogant, to say the least, for these parliamentarians who have somewhat legal, no real legal authority in the nations that they stand, to really be saying these things and have no authority here in the United States. Like, it means nothing what they do. They can pass this vote. Cool. It means nothing. Then you're seeing, we talked about this before, but Governor Youngkin came out and really doubled down on this, saying that he wants to continue to advocate for a 15-week ban on abortion. And what's interesting is look at this as an example of, no matter what state you're in, is that when the people and the church rise up to protect their children based upon sanity, that you can overturn things in the night in a spiritual sense. Because he talks about it. He went on the Sunday morning shows and said, he says, think about it. This was a state that just 18 months ago was talking about enabling abortion all the way up through and including birth. And now we're able to talk about 15-week pain threshold bill where a baby feels pain. This is a remarkable moment for us, and it's an opportunity. And he says, I'm not going to let it go. He even talked about, and I think this is very crucial, he said, the debate it will ultimately be around, and something that the country needs to have a discussion on, he said, is around this issue of what is the moment of pain, of conception, of life, where is that debate? And it's really an old argument that has kind of gone to the wayside because the left has been winning, court battles has been winning, and more so those who are pro-abortion, because it's not just the left. There are even some on the right who are okay with abortion and want abortion. So I think we need to be intellectually honest there and understand that that it is both sides. There are more the libertarian side who are okay with abortion, and et cetera, stuff like that is somewhat troubling, and even within the church, you're starting to see, and that's where we really need to focus and pray and be aware of. But some troubling comments that came out this last week in regards to security and safety of not only public officials, but judges and the Supreme Court justices specifically. As you saw the comments, we heard comments from Chastain Buttigieg, Pete's partner. To call him a husband is just, it's intellectually dishonest, number one. But came out against a statement that when we heard about this, when Kavanaugh, who snuck out the back door of a steakhouse in the area he was at, and Chastain was saying, is like, sounds like he just wanted some privacy to make his own dining decisions. And it's a reference in towards the decision of, you know, the quote unquote woman to make the best choice for her, et cetera. But this is a battle I don't think he wants. Like, he doesn't want the outcome of the road of the world he's leading to. And some people call him out for it. I think that's good. But what's ultimately very disturbing is that Pete Buttigieg, his partner, came out on the Fox News Sunday shows and said this. He says, look, when public officials go into public life, we should expect two things. One, that you should always be free from violence, harassment, and intimidation. And two, you're never going to be able to be free from criticism or peaceful protests, people exercising their First Amendment rights. Basically, oh, it's okay. Who cares? What? This is from a Biden official saying, oh, it's okay if they go and harass and intimidate a judge, which they're legally not supposed to do. And it's something that's very alarming. And a question that was proposed by a New York Post journalist, Carol Markowitz, who has a – this is opinion. This is her thought. And she has this question. She says, where is the line between protest and harassment, intimidation, and lawbreaking? And I think that's, as a nation, we need to be very careful of, as we're seeing – bribes, I guess, is the best way of putting it, for people who are exposing the Supreme Court justices and justices who don't agree with what they like. And there's a difference between protesting and being uncivil, and this is borderline that. And very troubling that they would bribe that, because what's the purpose of paying a bribe? Okay, it starts with just intimidation, harassment. Then what does it go to? And the reason we want to be aware of this and stand against this and pray against this is because of, we want to stand against this spirit of assassination that has now started to continue to enter into the world, not just the United States, as we saw with what happened in Japan last week. So we want to continue to, number one, repent for the Biden administration officials for siding with those who want to escalate violence on the Supreme Court justices, and ultimately intercede for the protection of the SCOTUS justices and other officials within the government to be protected against this spirit of assassination that it is trying to creep its way throughout the world. I don't want to see any loss of life there. Now, to go further down the abortion stance that the Biden administration is taking, is we're seeing now this claim that Biden, and the story that he keeps saying about this 10-year-old who allegedly needed an abortion from a rapist, because they're having to go to a different state because of laws that were passed in Ohio. Meanwhile, there's two things that are coming out. Number one, it's unverifiable, the person that they got this from. It's just a made-up story that they made it up. And when somebody actually went to go verify the records from the state records about this story, about if a 10-year-old in Indianapolis, Indiana, ever had an abortion to begin with, to see if this is even true, there is no record within the state of Indiana that is being reported of a 10-year-old even ever having an abortion. So if it was done illegally behind closed doors, or it's a complete fabrication, and it's tending to lean that way. And obviously the Daily Wire and Epoch Times do a good job of reporting on this. So I have these stories for you if you want to go ahead back and read it, and just exposing this. And what's interesting through all of this is that you're having a House panel investigation looking at how companies deal with quote-unquote reproductive health care information. And this goes back to the stance the Biden administration was taking last week on the HIPAA requirements, which in any way, people shouldn't be giving out private healthcare information anyways. That's just, it's a HIPAA violation, number one. Like when I worked in the collegiate athletic environment, it was even a whiff of considering exposing a minor's health, whether it be a torn Achilles or something like that. I mean, your job was, you even thought about it, your job was done. In any other scenario, when you, doesn't matter what, do you have the right to give this information to anybody asking, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They make you sign forms. Like this is a bit much, but what they don't want is they don't want people, and what this House panel is trying to investigate is trying to prevent third-party apps and private cell phone carriers from being able to track people's searches and data around what they're calling productive rights, abortion, et cetera, stuff. They want that to be hidden, which it's interesting. The reason I point that out is it's interesting to see that when they want something hidden, they'll fight for privacy. When they don't want something hidden, they want to cover you. They want to track you, where you've been, if you've had the virus and et cetera, stuff like that, where they want to be able to track you, letting the CDC track you and stuff. It's just a bit hypocritical, but it's very interesting to see. They want to be tyrannical when they want to be tyrannical, unless it's for child sacrifice. Very interesting there. Now, the reason I want to go back to the Biden statement of his little story is that he is now on, after his little, during his little bike ride this weekend, the press stopped him. He came out and it's funny, the White House calls it a gaggle, comes out and makes a statement saying that him and his administration are mulling healthcare emergency for abortion access. And this is really a tripling down saying, he says it doesn't seem like a great option. But he does say this. This is what's troubling. He says, keep protesting to protesters. Keep making your point. It's critically important. There's a difference between protesting and making your point. If you're protesting, you're trying to intimidate and harass and get change done like that. If you're trying to make your point, you go to your politicians and say, hey, we want this in mass and see if that's where the people lie, if that's where true constituency lies. But he goes on to talk about how he says he doesn't know if he has the authority. Again, this is after the statement we read last week about how the official release from the White House, and I think he even understands this. This is him having a clear moment of he's off the cuff. He doesn't have a teleprompter. He's just regular Joe, president riding his bike. Then they ask him a question. He says he knows he doesn't have the authority, but they're looking into it. So it's interesting that this is what Democrats and those with his administration are pushing and pushing and pushing for. And so this is going to be where they're going down. And the last thing before the prayer point is you're now seeing outside of the administration, pro-abortion groups saying, and this is just, I mean, crazy, that they are going to threaten southern states with a floating abortion clinic in the Gulf of Mexico so that women who need abortion in Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida as well, can just get on a boat and go have an abortion. Now, there is going to be a huge legal battle about whether this is even legal. And obviously, it will determine where the boat sits, determining water rights, etc. It's kind of ingenious if you think about it, because then it's federal. And if the federal government is going to try to protect abortion rights, they might might be able to get around state laws. I mean, this is wild to think that they would even go to this level. I mean, think about if a hurricane's coming and the boat sitting out there, let's say they take women, like it's just the logistics behind it is a nightmare to even think of. And to see if I don't know yet if the Biden administration will get behind this movement, if it's even legitimate, but the fact that they're thinking about it, I just want to point out is they're not giving up. They're going to try to hold on to this ability to have child sacrifice. And that's where we want to, number one, just repent for the Biden administration's continuing to stand up for for the pro-abortion agenda, and ultimately intercede for the veil to be removed from the church's eyes, to ultimately have the fear of the Lord on this issue. I mean, there's warning and warning and warning after warning in the Old and New Testament about, you know, making idols, child sacrifice, just horrendous things that I think if the church isn't seeing very clearly, it is, and Pastor Regas talked about it, it is going to cause yesterday a divide in the church, and some of it might be healthy to see who really stands for what the Lord stands for, or who really stands for what man stands for and who has created an idol in their eyes. And I think it should be very clear after these events and where churches should stand. But the church ultimately itself, if we're going to get mad at politicians, we first need to have the fear of the Lord and humble ourselves before the Lord and pray and repent for the church itself. Okay. Now, that's the abortion issue. And then lastly, I want to kind of wind down on this is, this week we're going to see some votes to push for more spending and what is being called the highest tax increase in decades. But caveat is this. We have to understand the full facets of what's going on the ground. Chuck Schumer has tested positive for COVID. A spokesperson for his office has said it will not, however, prevent him from being able to get his work done, as he works pretty much remotely anyways. Democrats have been working remotely for the past 2 years because they're very fearful of COVID, and that's just how they've been working remotely over the past several years. Now, the vote that's coming up is a vote to ultimately use the reconciliation process on a host of issues, from China to Medicaid, Medicare, increasing taxes to pay for all these increases in spending that the government's trying to do, climate, energy stuff that they're trying to go after. And I'm being very, very high level, because I want to say this, is these things they're going after, you have parts of the Democratic Party, and this is the Democratic Party alone saying this, because Mitch McConnell said, if you want to try this, I'm not going to vote for this CHIP bill that you want in order to give $52 billion of access to funding, which there's another battle there, but this is a separate issue. In the fact of all these things that they're trying to, some of these things people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema agree on, but then what they're trying to do is they're trying to tag on the things that they don't want to the things that they do want and say, if you want this, you know, lowering Medicaid, et cetera, lowering insulin cost, increasing taxes to be able to pay for these things, then you need to pass these climate energy things that will ultimately hurt his own state. And in order to do this, you have to throw away the filibuster. You have to vote to remove the filibuster. And Joe Manchin's office and people within his office say, we agree on these issues over here, but we do not agree on the increase of taxes and basically domestic tariffs for the fossil fuel industry. And so this could be dead in the water. Most likely, if they try to get it passed this way, because there are no Republicans who are on board with any of this. It is only Democrats negotiating with themselves, plus the fact of they're trying to increase taxes on quote unquote those who make over under $400,000 or $500,000, et cetera. So we're seeing they want to get these things done, but they're willing to skirt the law to try to get it done and remove. And ultimately the goal is to remove the filibuster. They're going to try either way, and understand they only have like a week or two before midterms start to heat up. And, you know, the elections in Kentucky start, the elections in other states for their midterm start. So this is a very, very short window that Chuck Schumer has here to try to pass this. And so really want to pray against this and understand this is what's also in this as well is potential increases and legitimate increases for people who pay premiums via the Affordable Care Act, as if some subsidies aren't extended, which they've known about these for the inception of Obamacare, millions of consumers will see their premiums rise next year because of additional financial help. That was given during COVID relief to help lower the premiums. They're trying to look, and this is part of it as well. And this is a problem with the government being involved in healthcare, is that when you insure things that are uninsurable, your premiums are going to go up because it's got to be paid for somehow. And it's a whole other argument to get into. But in reality is we want to pray for people like Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, and other Democrats who may not go along with this. And look, this would be political suicide for Joe Manchin to even consider voting for this, as his state is heavily, heavily reliant upon steel, fossil fuels, and these are things that they're trying to put basically domestic tariffs on and limit their capabilities for climate change. We want to intercede for our leaders, both Republican and Democrat, to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to vote for, what to put forward next, and continue to support the original intent of this nation, which is to stand up for freedom, to stand up for the rule of law, and the original intent that God has for this nation, which is to be a nation that stands up and spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And so I want to close out with that, as we're seeing some decisions that are coming before politicians, this administration. Understand this, when Joe Biden and Joe Manchin, both Joes, are in their right state of mind, they stand and they understand the legal authorities that they have within their office, and they try their best to stand for freedom. Now, for Joe Biden, it's how many hours or minutes within the day is he cognizant enough to be able to stand against the schemes that his administration is pulling off around him. And look, it's easy for those on the right to attack him, you know, for being Sleepy Joe, for not being aware, for having a very limited schedule. They're not wrong in that, but if we're just going to attack him for making horrible decisions, that's great. The left did that against Donald Trump, and look at where we are in this toxic political environment. We want to pray for him to, even though we may not agree with all the policies he has, when he is cognitive, and he is there, he is in his sound state of mind, he can make decisions that don't ultimately just completely destroy this nation, but ultimately that do stand up for freedom. So I digress. I'll end on that. Don't forget, we have we'll continue to have our noon prayer online for the rest of July, as we have our staff giving what they're being led in this season from the Lord to release to you guys some things they're carrying. And as we're going through recording them, it's somewhat refreshing to hear from each of them, you know, what the Lord's carrying. And you know, if you haven't met them before, been to Shreveport Bossier, you'll be able to meet some of them online and just hear their heart, hear what they're carrying, and hopefully it'll be something peaceful that will resonate with you through this month of July, the sabbatical that we're on, and carry us through the rest of this year and even further as we move into a new season. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.